Will you turn with me for a brief time tonight to our reading there from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. On Sunday night there, we were looking at some aspect of the life of Jacob, and we referred in that to the different methods that the Lord uses to prepare his people for service, but also to mold and change the character of the believer. For Jacob, it was 20 years with Laban, his uncle. For Moses, it was both the riches of Egypt and the barrenness of the desert. For Paul, it was the isolation from men, as well as the captivity and the communion of the Lord in the deserts of Arabia. But what is it for us? What are the methods the Lord might use to bring our character on, or to prepare us for service? There are difficulties, some tests that come into the Christian's life. They come with a whole variety of different colors and complexions. There's the test and trials of a full cup, just as well as there are tests and trials of an empty cup. When all things go well for us, plain sailing. When nothing disturbs our Christian life in any great scale. When other people might talk of difficulties, we can see none of them reflected in our own lives. A full cup. Or then again, there is the empty cup. And we know of illness, loneliness, bereavement. We feel something of persecution for our stance for the Lord. We feel something of the opposition of others to our Lord being visited upon ourselves. How do we cope with complacency? How do we overcome opposition? And what do we learn from both? Even the remarkable experience in the life of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 31, where we're deliberately told that with the visiting of the ambassadors from Babylon, we're told quite specifically the Lord withdrew from Babylon. The Lord withdrew from Hezekiah to test Hezekiah whether he would rely on the Lord or not. There are a whole complexion of tests which the Lord brings us into classrooms to promote and to develop, to hone our Christian qualities and characteristics. Some of these troubles might rock our little boat of life. What response, therefore, do we make when these troubles come our way? Isaiah 40 gives us one where there the people say, has God forgotten? Does God remember? Does God think of us? Psalm 73, verse 13, we have there, it's a vain thing to do these things. I've cleansed my hands and washed my hands in vain. Or we might have in that same psalm, there's the expression of very hard thoughts. Does God know in heaven what's happening on this earth below? That's only but a sample of the kind of thoughts that we have when troubles come upon us. Yes, we can comfort our souls. We know our theology. We comfort our souls when we say God is sovereign. God rules. And that's teaching and that's words. And we know them and we accept them and we believe them. But when we've come to accept them and when we know their application to our lives in a very hard and practical way through the school of hard knocks and experiences, then these very same words that were to one and at one time to us, but theology and words, they then become precious, personal, and part of our lives. The benefit and the blessing of troubles that come and their place in the Christian life and development of character. So therefore tonight I simply want us for a brief time to look at the way in which Paul speaks of troubles here in this chapter. Job tells us that man is born to be troubled as the smoke rises upwards. It comes to every one of us, irrespective of our profession, language, colour or creed. How do we face it? Disasters happen round about us. We have the example of that volcano in Iceland. There's the crashing, there's the shaking, there is that transferred into the experience of life of every one of us at some time or other. How do we cope? That very experience described in Psalm 46, towards the end of the psalm in verse 10, we're told, "Be still and know that I am God." But that shaking of life to the very core and the falling apart of the structures of life, that's a common experience to all men. But here Paul is speaking of something more distinctive. Here Paul is speaking about the qualities that come, or at least the troubles that come because of the quality of our life, because we are Christians and because we stand up for and speak out in the name of the Lord. He is dealing with them in a brutal honesty. Verse 8, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came upon us in Asia." He does not want to hide from them what he has gone through. There is a realistic, brutal honesty. No delusions with this man. This is what happens when you follow the Lord. To be with him in his purpose and in his way will bring the same kind of troubles on us as he himself experienced in his pilgrim journey in this world. Troubles come. Particularly the troubles come, and there are two simple ways of describing them as Paul gives them to us here. There's the source of the troubles, and there's the size of the trouble. What's the source of the trouble? Simply this. Because we identify with and stand up on the side of the Lord. The servant is no greater than the Lord. If we walk the same path as our Lord, so we will, in some measure at least, know and experience something of the troubles which he himself had coming upon him. And it is through these troubles, we're told that it was through these troubles that the Lord progressed into glory. So Acts 14:22 gives exactly the same path for the Christian. The source of our troubles because of who or what we are. And the comfort that Paul is speaking of here comes only, and it's quite limited and specific, it only comes as we are in that path and following that person. Troubles that come because of our disobedience. Troubles that come because of our selfishness. Troubles that come because we're lukewarm, following afar off or whatever. Because we've lost our first love or any of these analyses the Scripture gives to us. The suffering that comes from these is not underneath what Paul is speaking of here. As we seek to live for the Lord, so the trouble will come upon us. As they rejected the message of the Lord, as we speak that same message, so we will know that same rejection. We speak plain. We live in an open, transparent way. We stick to our principles and our standards, even although the tide might be going against the church in our nation and our people. And that gospel that we speak of provokes anger in the heart of those who hear it. And that anger is often a blast directed against us. But we must not be put off. We must not be deterred. The source of our troubles, because we stand close and speak often about our Lord. Rejecting the message, that's one way in which these troubles can come. But also, on another way, perhaps a more positive way, troubles can come our way when we accept His will. There is a path set out for every one of us. The Lord's purpose is for us from all eternity. That path, that burden might, when we look down it, seem to be daunting. It seems intimidating. It seems beyond our resource, and we might falter even at the first step. And we might have a degree of reluctance to go down that road and to walk that way and accept His will for us. But if the will of the Lord is there and we embrace it, so that we know His presence going down that road, that path might indeed bring us into hot water and into trouble. But on the other hand, we can say this, that obedience will bring blessing as well as trouble upon us. To accept His will, to walk and function as the Lord would have us. Yes, source of troubles because we stand up and walk down His road and His path. But in His company, we will always have peace to our souls. The source of the trouble. But what about the size of the troubles? And what does Paul say here to fill that out for us as well? He tells us it was intense. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came upon us, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That's how intense it was. Paul was tested right to the very limit, to the edge. The weight of trouble that was upon him was so great, it was almost like squeezing the very breath out of his body. We were delivered up. We despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. That's the words he describes, or at least he uses to describe the intensity of what he's going through. The waves utterly flattened him. He felt so useless, no energy, no enthusiasm, so overwhelmed by the troubles that were coming upon him. The size of the troubles that sometimes can break around our little boat also. Well, that's it. No more. End of our resources. End of our consideration. We've been flattened and we've been buffeted. We cannot see a way out of it and we cannot see a way through it. And we don't know how we'll survive. That's the intensity of what Paul is speaking of here. The troubles that come upon every one of us. And sometimes these troubles come and they can have an effect, yes, just as Paul describes it for himself. And so often we've got to be mindful of each other, think of each other, and seek to encourage each other. So what are the lessons that we can learn out of this? Because Paul says we're comforted by the Lord when we go through these troubles for this purpose, that we may be able to comfort those who are going through likewise. He says what he says, not because he wants to wallow in self-pity, not because he wants to lie there and attract attention to himself and focus upon himself, but he is saying what he is saying honestly to help others because of a great discovery that he's made. This word comfort that he speaks of, it occurs time after time after time in these few verses at the beginning of this chapter. When he's going through trouble, he knows the compassion. Dean speaks about that pity that the Father has toward his own children. And so often we discover it in this kind of experience and situation and setting. So often this is where we discover. We know it. It's in our mind, it's in our words, it's in our vocabulary. But so often it's in experiences just like these troubles that Paul is speaking about. It's there that it comes into our soul, more than just in our mind. And you'll notice the way in which there's a matching of descriptions here in these verses 3 and 4. He speaks first of all about all our tribulations in verse 4. All our tribulations. There's not only the variety of them in any one person's life. And we can all fill in a whole rainbow complexion of troubles that we're going through. But that's only for one person. And that variety can be multiplied up by all the experiences of all of God's people. And that gives you a tremendous trouble in one place, in one heading. All of our troubles. A comprehensive term. But that description and comprehensive gathering together by Paul in verse 4 is matched by what he says in verse 3. And he speaks about, blessed be God, the God of all comfort. So there's a matching between the tribulation that we're going through and God, who is more than equal to it with all of his comfort. There is no defects in all of God's comfort for us. He is equal to every demand and eventuality that comes into our lives. There is the certainty, there is the assurance of his loving kindness, his grace, his might, his power, and all of the resources that he has promised and made available as God to his people. All of them are made available to us to carry us through the troubles that we might be in. There is no defect to the undertaking that God has given or the assurance that he gives. No defect. But equally, there is no escape from any of these troubles. Sometimes when we're going through a path and a hard experience, sometimes when the burden is heavy and the road is hard, sometimes we can very, very easily and quickly, we've been there, perhaps we've said it ourselves, I want out. I want out. And the Lord says, no, you're not getting out, but I will provide for you. That's the essence, remember, of Paul's experience about the thorn in his flesh. He says, Lord, I can get on far better if you didn't have this with me. I get on far better in the work that I'm supposed to be doing and that you've given me to do. Lord, I can get on with it far better if you just take away this thing from me. And the Lord says, no, I won't take it away, but I'll provide everything that I need, everything that you need, rather, to enable you to cope with it. And in doing so, it'll keep you close to me. There's no escape from it. And at the end, when we've gone through that kind of experience, even although it might be hard enduring it, we can see that we're better at the end for it. And there are no defects, there's no escape, and there's no exceptions. It's not just simply that some departments of life, our spiritual life, our spiritual character, our spiritual habits, and so on. It's not just our spiritual aspect of life that is under scrutiny or tested by troubles. It is all of our life. There are troubles that can come to us individually and personally. There are troubles and tests that come socially within our own home. there are troubles that come in our own family, in our relationships, in our public behavior, in our way of life, and so on. A whole range of areas where troubles visit us. And the Lord comforts us. It's not as if we've got one area or one department that is set aside, kept away, sacrosanct from troubles coming upon us. The Lord will bring them in ways that perhaps surprise us, ways that we least expect. But the Lord knows in his perfect wisdom, in knowing us, how we best are able to grow, develop, or mature. And he measures that schoolroom and that experience for us, different from each one of us, but always in wisdom and in love, and always with the same intent, to make us more like our Lord. Sometimes things can be very hard indeed. Sometimes events can be very, very demanding in our own Christian life. Just for a moment, that question hangs in the air. Sometimes, just for a moment, we entertain it in our soul, in a moment of weakness, when we're weeping and broken and tired, when everything seems to be getting on top of us, we sometimes just give expression to that one question, why, Lord? But all of that hardship, all of that path that is demanding, all of that weight that is heavy, it's all made bearable when we see the purpose behind it. What are the lessons that we can get out of these troubles? Well, surely these troubles create and promote a fellow feeling with others. A burden shared, a burden halved. We need to remind ourselves that every one of us, we are not alone and on our own. We are all part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all integrated one with the other. And as such, we have to function as part of that whole. It means we've got to share, we've got to support, and we've got to strengthen each other. If you go, this is one of the appeals we all know in the book of Psalms and of the Psalms themselves. Whenever you read and take up a portion of that, you find there the psalmist's experience. He recites it in his own terms. But the way in which he puts it down, find an echo perhaps in what you're going through yourself. And you can see the way in which the psalmist was going through troubles and difficulties. And then towards the end of it, we see the way in which the Lord delivered him. And immediately there's that appeal to our soul. Because one who's been there before us, one who has been there and knows what we're going through, the book of Psalms. But what applies to the book of Psalms, we see applying supremely to our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4. Sympathy. Understanding. He knows what we're going through. And he's able to pray for us and to remember us in our need. But here is Paul. And he's been through troubles and difficulties. And he can say, yes, I'm in deep trouble. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't deny it. He's not ashamed of it. He doesn't put it down as if it was something that should not be in the Christian's life. But having acknowledged it and realistically set it before them and us, he goes on and he speaks about the way in which the Lord comforts him and the Lord helps him. And out of that, he's able to assist others. Able to assist others, perhaps in two ways, from reminding them of scriptures, of promises the Lord has made to his people, to to comfort them, not only reminding them of Scripture, but also presenting before them his own personal testimony. This fellow feeling then, a sympathetic human touch in our Christian lives, that winsomeness when people will, when we can say to others, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know it. And that fellow feeling gives us the opportunity to speak with and to help others. We cannot stand aloof from others. We cannot create barriers to helping others. That only isolates. But we bring ourselves as part of the body of Christ to share with and to speak with others, to encourage and strengthen. There's been programs because of VE Day. There have been programs these days about the war and such like, and one of them, Blitz Street, mentions the way in which the effect of the Blitz had on our people and our nation and our cities. And the way in which, whenever the threat of the Blitz came, they always went down into the underground and they were there together, perhaps over a night. And that trouble brought them together in the tube, in the underground. That trouble brought them together, packed as they were in. They weren't complaining, but they were all underneath the same trouble. And they were talking, and they felt the bonds bringing them tighter together, giving them an understanding of Mrs. So-and-so, of Mr. Such-and-such, who was round the corner. Never knew what he was going through until he sat there and told me and talked with me when we were down there as the bombers were overhead. That community feeling. So we have it in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The qualifications, the troubles that come our way, we sometimes think that we must be free from them, that there's something wrong with our lives if they're there. Sometimes we feel that they shouldn't be there at all, these storms and these difficulties. But here is Paul giving us an altogether different way of understanding it. The very qualifications for the Master's use. The community feeling, fellowship, feeling together. But also, these troubles draw us closer to the Lord himself. Paul was stoned, mistreated, abused many, many times. And he kept going. And he kept coming back. What was it that he said? What was the underlying key of this man's life that kept him going? He loved me, and he gave himself for me. And perhaps through what Paul was experiencing, and perhaps through what we might experience in our troubles, we are given a practical understanding, in a small measure, of what was involved in the sufferings of our Lord. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Getting to know more and more about our God and about our Christ. What he suffered, yes, was intense. What we suffer is nothing as intense as what our Lord suffered upon the cross. But in a measure, and I must emphasize it, in a measure, our eyes can be opened, our hearts can be touched, and our souls can appreciate the greatness of our salvation and of the love of our God towards us, drawing us closer to Christ in what he experienced and endured to set sinners like us go free. Today, in preaching, perhaps the danger is of becoming too theoretical, to reducing everything or to leaving everything just as words. We've all known it, perhaps. We all appreciate it. When you hear an old Christian speaking, someone who's lived life as a Christian believer, when you hear an old Christian speak, there's an appeal and there's a warmth to what they're saying. Words. And we might say exactly the same words as they might say, but there's something different in the way they say it. Because they've come through the school of experience. And they know the realities of life. And they know something what's involved in what our Lord endured. And so there's that drawing and tying in love and attachment to their Saviour, drawing us closer to the Lord. And troubles can also have this third effect upon us. They can prepare us for his service and his work. They can create and prepare us to be useful in his service. God is doing something perhaps in our lives that goes far beyond the immediate circle of our own personal living. Yes, there's that togetherness, that community, that fellow feeling that we're speaking about. But perhaps there's also a preparation for something else. Somebody can be, we use the phrase, somebody is laid aside. They are temporarily indisposed. They're temporarily out of service. But perhaps being out of service, they are there being used later to come back into service, to help others, creating a usefulness in God's service and in God's hand. We mentioned, going back just simply to Sunday night, the way in which Moses was 80 years in the preparation underneath God's hand in different schoolrooms of experience for 40 years of service as the leader of God's people. Usefulness. God preparing and equipping him. There he was in the desert. No one to lead him, no one to guide him, no one to defend him, prepare him, or provide for him. All that he was learning there was more and more of the same. To lean upon the Lord. And in leaning upon the Lord in the loneliness and the isolation of the desert for such a long period of time, there was that habit that was developed, that was deep, that was part of his very breath of his body. There was that preparation for usefulness. Leaning upon the Lord and how he would need it later on in leading God's people. Yes, equipping for service, usefulness, but also helplessness. There is, as we saw there with Moses, that developing sense, our Lord says it himself, without me you can do nothing. And we need to be reminded of that so often. And sometimes troubles that the Lord brings upon us brings us back to that truth perhaps we've forgotten or let slip or let go of. Through the daily routines of life, especially in our day where there is so much, the danger we've got is not opposition. That's what's happening in other places perhaps. But in our land, maybe in our communities, maybe where we are, the danger that we've got is not oppression, it's complacency. We're not under threat for our stand as a Christian yet. We're not yet opposed and oppressed and thrown out of jobs yet. We don't know when that might come, if it will come at all. The danger that we've got to face and the trouble we've got to cope with is that of complacency. And so often that can develop, lead to a laziness, a spiritual laziness with ourselves, not relying upon the Lord as we should. And sometimes the troubles that the Lord brings upon us are simply to remind us of what we should be doing, that we should be leaning upon Him. The psalmist does it. We mentioned it. Let me just simply give the reference and you can look it up. Psalm 77, there, the beginning of that psalm, he's reciting his experiences. And there, when you get to verse 10, he says, I'll remember the things the Lord has done. And the implication is, I've forgotten it. And the troubles come upon us to teach us again, not something new, but something old that we've let slip. But also here, Paul is telling us of the discovery that he made of the Lord, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This is the experience, this is the discovery that he's made along the way. Experiences that perhaps wouldn't be welcome, but he wouldn't do without them. And he blesses God for it. Blessed be the God who's brought these things upon me, because out of them I've discovered something new about the God whom I follow. And he's different and he's changed from that time onward. Life can take on and does take on a deeper human quality of understanding, encouragement and confidence when we've gone through these experiences in the school of hard knocks ourselves. And there we come out of it. And we think, well, that's it, over. It's the end. No, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. Because the Lord has been making us and preparing us and fitting us to do something else. A new sphere of service. Preparing us to speak to someone else. Preparing us to speak to someone who's maybe going through the same as we are. But to be able to speak to that person of the comfort that we ourselves have had from our God. Able to help others in the way the Lord has helped us. Troubles, whole variety of responses that can come from us to them. But here is Paul holding out for us the best way of treating them, to learn from them, and to be better servants. Not only servants of the Lord, but to be more like Him in our character. Let us pray then. Our Lord, our God, we bless Thee for the way in which Thy Word shines light upon our lives. The way in which Thou dost meet us in that very personal way. And in Thy grace Thou dost speak with us and deal with us as Thy children. Lord, may that whole approach on Thy part be part of the process to bring us not only closer, but also lower before Thyself. And may we also be able to shout with joy at the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God to us. Lord, deal with us therefore in Thy mercy. Speak with us in Thy grace. And grant unto us, Lord, that we may hold tight as a precious thing what Thou dost give to us from Thy Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's close by singing part of that psalm. It just quoted Psalm 77, and at verse 7, the psalmist we break into his experience and his recitation here at 77 and at verse 7, "Forever will the Lord cast off, and gracious be no more. Forever is his mercy gone, fails his word evermore. 'Tis true that to be gracious the Lord forgotten hath, and that his tender mercies he has shut up in his wrath." And then the change comes at verse 10. "Then did I say that surely this is mine infirmity. I'll mind the years of the right hand of him that is most high. Yea, I remember will the works performed by the Lord, the wonders done of old by thee, I surely will record."